Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task, never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. Here's your host, Alan Weisberg.
And welcome back, everybody, to School of Human Potential Radio. Tonight, we're talking about happiness. Isn't that lovely? Don't people want to be happy? I want to be happy. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but that's why we have Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo with us today. Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo and I have met before. She was kind enough to appear on our airwaves to talk about happiness. Now she has a new book coming out, so we'll talk to her about that. She's a highly sought-after speaker and media consultant. She's been honored in prestigious TEDx events, and she's an awesome, awesome person. Please welcome Elizabeth Lombardo. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey, great to be back, Alan. Thanks.
Thanks so much. I know how busy you are. You're probably shuttling. You should get really some sort of a flight schedule between here and New York. You've been appearing on the Today Show so many times.
Well, you know what? It's been such a blessing because not only is it fun to be on the Today Show, but it's been such a crazy winter, and I'm afraid to say this out loud, but I'm going to, as I'm knocking on wood, my flights have been unbelievably on time pretty much every time I've gone out to be on the Today Show this winter, so it's been really fortunate.
Well, that explains why you're happy. I think people who are traveling who are traveling in general may not be as happy, but it's good. Maybe it's a positive attitude. And let's start there. Isn't one of the ways to be happy is to have a positive attitude about life?
So to me, that's what happiness is. It really is your attitude. It's your outlook. It's your interpretation of life. To me, happiness all starts up in our head with what we are saying to ourselves. And the resulting mood of feeling that joy and that elation, it's because of what we're saying to ourselves, and it's also because of what we do.
Perfect. Well, excuse me. I got choked up just thinking about happiness. I'm so happy about this conversation. I found myself in a moment. Getting all verklempt. I'll give you a topic. I found myself over the last 3 days. I was teaching an IT class virtual to a couple of very lovely ladies up in the East Coast, and that was a very different class for me. For whatever reason, and I asked myself that question because I'm trying to, Dr. Darren Weissman, I am removing the word trying from my vocabulary. I am doing much better. So I'm doing something different, and I constantly ask myself the question of how can I serve you? And then I start doing everything after that. So this particular class, even though I've been teaching for the past 15 years, and I've done probably thousands of classes by now, this class was by far the nicest, happiest. And I'm thinking, what has happened to me? So that's one of the questions I want to ask you. What that one simple question and the change in my mode before I present of how can I serve you, that really was a catalyst for me.
It's so powerful, isn't it? Because it changes your energy. You go from, oh my gosh, I hope people, I'm not saying you do, but a lot of people go from, oh my gosh, I hope that people like me, and what, you know, why is that person looking at me that way? You go from, you know, kind of analyzing what am I doing and how are people reacting to, I'm just here to give. I'm just here to serve. And it goes from our stress reaction and not wanting to fail to a place of passion, to a place of purpose, and to a place of meaning. And when we are in that place, that energy that we emit, it actually changes other people's energy. It really affects how they view you and how they view the entire class.
Wow.
And it's funny because you brought up the Today Show. Sometimes people are like, well, you know, what's it like being in front of 7 million people? And that's exactly what I do. If I got on, you know, and they're hooking up my microphone and I'm thinking about 7 million pairs of eyes, so 14 million eyes are going to be watching me, you know, I better not mess up. I assure you, my interview would not be all that great. But I always, when I was sitting down, I always say a quick prayer and just ask, you know, please let this interview serve at least one person. And when I change my energy like that, everything changes.
Perfect. Well, that's great. And do you do the same thing before giving any speeches, as in
always.
TED or other places? Yeah.
Always. Because it's my belief, and this is just my belief, so I'm not throwing it on anyone, but it's my belief that I'm not the only one who's giving the speech, that I'm getting some help. And so I just ask for that help, and I just ask for that open channel, that, you know, whoever is out there, universe, who's there to really facilitate and help me with this bigger purpose that I have, that I get help.
And speaking of your bigger purpose, I'm looking at, well, all right, I have to ask, since it's a March Madness and you are a Duke graduate.
Yeah. We literally were just filling out our brackets before I got on this call, so that's so funny.
Nice. All right, and who do you have in your bracket in the top
I always have Duke going first.
Good, very nice.
My 9-year-old daughter has Wichita State, though, so we'll see.
All right. Well, good luck to both of you, and we'll see who's going to come out happier at the end. So going back into your background, you have a master's degree from Duke, right? You started out as a physical therapist. How did you switch into that bigger purpose? What was the turning point for you?
So, and it's interesting because physical therapy is an unbelievably rewarding profession. I mean, I literally taught people how to walk again after an accident. I would, you know, physical therapists get people out of horrible chronic pain. They help people play the sport again that they always love. So it's a really rewarding profession. I was working with a gentleman who, had diabetes, and sometimes with diabetic complications, you have an amputation. So he had his leg cut off the day before, below his knee, and he came into the physical therapy gym, and with most of my clients who have this kind of thing, I teach them how to walk again, how to use a prosthetic device, how to move on with their lives. And this guy came down, and we'll call him David, and he sat in his chair, and he just was slumped over. I mean, he didn't want to have anything to do with me, and he didn't really answer my questions. And at one point, he got so frustrated with me as I brought him over to the bars to walk. He just yelled at me. He's like, you know, just let me go back up. So I brought him back up. That afternoon, we had rounds with the doctors and the nurses and the physical therapists and everyone. We were talking about this patient, David, and everyone agreed that he was depressed. And then the attending physician said, and this is literally what changed my life, he said, I'll give him some Prozac. And everyone was shaking their head like, yeah, that makes sense. He's depressed. Give him the pill. Mm. And I thought, oh, my gracious, you literally just cut the man's leg off. Can we at least process with him? Can we at least empathize with him? Can we at least help him, you know, work through the fact that his life is going to be different now? And it was one of those moments where, I mean, the heavens didn't really open up, but they almost did. And I realized right then and there, I was meant to go back to school and get my PhD in psychology to help people like David. Because we don't all, thankfully, deal with a loss of a limb, but we all deal with loss. We all deal with loss of whether it's relationships or losing a loved one, or even loss of what we expected or what we hoped would happen. And so that's why I went back to school.
Very nice. And you've been doing this ever since. That's great. I know that they call you Dr. Happy. Do you like that name?
I don't know who calls me that.
Sean,
you know,
Sean,
it doesn't really matter to me.
First one, yeah.
You know, the whole my goal is to help other people be happier, and so my ultimate goal is for people to be happier before they need a couch. And so, whatever message we can get out there, if Dr. Happy helps them out, then I'll let it help them out.
I think I heard Sean. She was the first one who said that, I think.
Love Sean.
At least that's where I heard it. Sean Duperin, who's also a wonderful person and is a very lovely and happy person, too. So
she is truly an amazing person. She's the kind of person, and if any of your listeners have had the opportunity to hear her speak, and if you haven't, I highly recommend it. I've seen some amazing speakers. I walked in, Darren Weissman and I actually went together. I walked into her presentation, and within 2 minutes, I literally wanted to go up and give her a hug. She's that powerfully positive.
Yeah. She's wonderful. And, you know, I know. I think this is actually where we met at her Chicago presentation last year.
Yeah.
And since then, I've went to her boot camp and had the pleasure of being with her for 2 days in that boot camp. She is amazing. She's truly amazing, and I loved meeting her that time. Cool. In terms of In terms of people, and we've talked about the patient, David, who had something that was quite serious that happened to him. How do people, now not necessarily somebody that has something that serious that happens to them, but how do people just in a regular life stay above that even keel philosophy? How do they remain happy when everything else around them is stressful? You know, you have work, you have kids, you have responsibilities, you have people yelling and screaming at you, like David in that case. How does one stay happy in that regard?
Well, I mean, let's just take a step back, because I think we often think, well, if really tough things happen to you, then of course you're not going to be happy. The research shows, in looking at people with one of the toughest challenges, which would be a spinal cord injury, the research shows that in looking at people who sustain a spinal cord injury where they cannot walk anymore, their happiness dips, but only for about, you know, maybe 3 to 6 months, and then it plateaus, and then it actually goes right back to where it was before. So even major life events like that, that we think, of course he's going to be depressed, it may happen temporarily, but it's not a long-standing thing. So the beauty of that is that even when things are going tough, if you choose to be happier, and here's the key, you practice the right skills, because happiness is a skill. When you practice the right skills, then you will be happier. So it's not a matter of oh, well, I have to wait until everything is perfect until I can be happier. It's I choose right now, and I'm going to choose wisely on what skills to use, and you will, you cannot help but be happier if you apply the right skills.
Perfect. Well, I do want to ask you what those skills are, and we'll do so right after the break.
Ooh.
But before that, I've mentioned that your new book is coming out. Do we know when it's coming out and what the title is?
We do. So the book is called Better Than Perfect.
Nice.
7 Strategies in the Life That You Love.
Perfect.
2014.
Nice. All right. So it's coming out soon. So on that note, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back with Dr. Lombardo, she's going to tell us some of the skills that we can apply to be happy. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Alan Weisberg with Recalibrate Your Life, and I help people like you find their soul purpose, align with it, and gain the balance that you seek. But don't take my word for it. Take my clients.
Alan, what can I say? But wow, I've always had so many questions on whether I'm on the right path. Am I fulfilling my life's mission? These are questions that I assume have been pondered by everyone since the beginning of time. However, the gift that you possess has helped me immensely. It confirmed my need to be artistic, my need to help others so much. I can't even explain the experience. It confirms so much more than I can describe in this small note of appreciation. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak, allowing me to release my inner thoughts, and most importantly, for confirming and leading me to what I always believed but was not confident enough to believe in. Thank you. Trust me, this was hard for me to do, but I do know that God has blessed us with various gifts, and you have an amazing gift. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You, like all of my clients, deserve to live in alignment with your soul purpose. To begin your journey, visit recalibrateyourlife.com or call 800-323-1619. And don't hesitate. Recalibrate.
Are you tired of all of the negativity in children's fiction? Does your child suffer from night terrors or frequent bad dreams? Do you wish there was a series for your child to read that is fun and inspirational? The Wishflower Field, Marie's Triumph, is a fanciful book that not only entertains, but builds inner strength. Join the many that have seen the difference this positive book has made in the way their children handle fear. The Wishflower Field is truly a series that appeals to all ages and empowers within. Visit thewishflowerfield.com for your copy today. That's thewishflowerfield.com.
Welcome back to the School of Human Potential Radio. We're talking happiness with Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo. This is a live show, so if you'd like to call in and ask a question of Dr. Lombardo, please do so at 888-429-5471. Dr. Lombardo, you've mentioned that people have to practice, and people have to practice being happy, and that happiness is a skill. What are some of the things that they can do in order to be happy?
Yeah, and I think when we talk about what are the things that we need to do to be happy, it's also important to talk about the opposite. What do we need not to do? Because as a society, we tend to practice happiness in the wrong ways. So if I got on a piano and started playing for an hour or two, you know, I might be able to make some music, but probably I would develop some pretty nasty skills. And as a society, that is what we tend to do when it comes to happiness. We try so hard to be happy, but we practice the wrong skills. Ben and Jerry's therapy, you know, shopping therapy, sitting in front of the television for hours, working, you know, an extra 5, 6, 7 hours at the office or in our business, thinking all of that will bring us happiness, and it doesn't. My grandmother used to teach a course, a college course, and it was called How to Play the Piano Despite Years of Practice. How to play the piano despite years of practice, because all those people who developed all those nasty habits, you would then, you know, have them unlearn that and learn the right way to do it. And I feel like that's what I do when it comes to happiness, helping people unlearn those skills that they've tried so hard because they really do want to be happier and to really learn what does work.
And what are some of those steps that
people could do? I was just, you know, tempting you, yes. So, you know, the first and foremost is applying your values and your strengths. What's important to you? Do a values assessment. I do this a lot with my clients, you know, going through specific values of what's important to you, because when we incorporate our values and our strengths, it's amazing how much our lives change. And let me give an example. I was working with a gentleman who's an actuary. So he works with numbers all day long, and he doesn't have a lot of social interaction. And yet when we were doing his values assessment, one of his top values is humor. He had no humor in his life, none whatsoever. So when we incorporated humor into his life, he started to feel more whole. He started to have more purpose because it really was enjoyable to him.
That makes perfect sense. Absolutely.
Yeah. Another thing is, what is your purpose? You know, your purpose isn't to get through, you know, a series of TV shows. That's not your purpose here on Earth. Mm-hmm. Our purpose here on Earth is to serve in some way, to apply our values and strengths to help others. That doesn't mean you have to go to Africa and feed the starving children. It's individual for each person, but when you figure out what your purpose is, or even take steps towards it, then we have more meaning in our life. As humans, we need to have, our human needs are to have a sense of purpose and meaning in our life, to have a sense of significance, and a sense of connection. So another really key point is to develop our social relationships, and that doesn't mean have 1,000 friends on Facebook. It means one-on-one, being very present with people who we really care about in our lives.
Makes perfect sense. Have they, I'm not sure if there are studies like that, but have they done studies where now everybody has thousands and thousands of likes and friends on Facebook and Twitter and followers? Have they done study where people now are less or more happy than they used to be before?
I haven't seen that. I have seen how this facade that we put up, you know, oh, no, everything's great. My pastor used to call it the church face, where, you know, you're yelling at the kids and you're screaming at everyone in the car, and then you come out and you open the door and you go into church and you're like, oh, everything's great. Oh, life is wonderful. I appreciated that he himself admitted that his family did that too. So, but you know, I think with Facebook and stuff, that's what we do. You know, we take the picture of our kids who are looking so perfect, and we take a picture of us when we're on our perfect vacation and our perfect cake that we've made. And, you know, so it really puts up this facade of how we, here comes the word, should be. So Darren's word may be he says get rid of that. My word to get rid of is should, because it just puts all this judgment and negative pressure on us.
You know what? That brings up such an interesting point. And right now with Ukraine and Russia in the news for unfortunate reasons, me being from there, in case people didn't know, I am from Ukraine, from the eastern part of Ukraine. And no, I don't have a preference. And no, I didn't decide of whether they're doing the right thing or not. But before we came to America, people were always saying, and I came here in 89, and people were always saying that Russians don't smile, and Americans smile all the time. And both would look at each other from a weird perspective, because Americans were looking at the Russians and say, why don't you ever smile? You know, is your life not good, or is it that bad that you don't smile? And vice versa. Whereas I came to learn that many of the people in Russia who don't smile, because that's a more quote-unquote serious society and that's how they were raised, these people had a lot less in terms of material wealth, but they were still happy. They just weren't smiling. And here you're talking about people who are smiling and everything is so perfect and they're not happy. So isn't that an interesting paradigm?
Right, and that's where it goes back to what is happiness. You know, happiness isn't smiling and laughing all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's called being stoned, and we are not suggesting that we do that. But
that's,
you know,
not one
it really
of the seven steps.
It is interesting though, because research does show that when we smile, we tend to be happier. When we force ourselves to laugh, we tend to feel temporarily that elation or that positive emotion, but when you look at really how I would define happiness, which is that overall satisfaction with life, that gratitude, that sense of purpose and meaning in our lives, you don't have to smile to do that.
Yeah. No, that's true. Right. If you want to smile, smile, but you don't have to smile all the time. I agree.
Right.
Speaking of reasons that make us smile and laugh and cry and be very stressed all at the same time, children.
I would say being a parent causes you to have every emotion on steroids.
I know, isn't it? I'm a roller coaster. I've always thought of myself as a very peaceful, even keel type of person, and I was until I had kids. And now I've been meditating as much as I could just because I have to stay even keel, because every day is this roller coaster. So with the children, are there any techniques, any things that you've worked with your clients on that will make everybody be a little calmer and more peaceful?
Well, gosh, you know, there's so many great things to do. And I think the same things that we talk about doing for ourselves are important for our kids. Gratitude is so important, especially in a society where so many kids are entitled. You know, we're giving our kids so much, and, you know, their Christmas and birthday and whatever holiday, you know, they get a gazillion gifts, and we're instilling a sense of entitlement in our children as a society. And we're doing it because we love them. We're doing it because we want to be kind and give them nice things. But it's really causing a lot of discontent. So gratitude. I mean, we at my house, we like to have happy meals where we just sit down and we talk about what are we grateful for. Every night we pray, and when we pray, we talk about, you know, we're thankful for the wonderful things, and we give specifics of the wonderful things that have happened in our lives. So gratitude is one. Another is helping your children understand what's truly important. One of the things I'm really excited about that I'm involved in right now is I have a monthly column with Better Homes and Gardens, which, unbeknownst to me, before I signed a contract with them, is the fourth most circulated magazine out there.
Wow.
And it was supposed to be called the Happy Kid Project, but apparently that's trademarked, so we're calling it the Good Kid Project. But every month what we do is we talk about a specific characteristic to help cultivate in our children. Because, again, when we're talking about happiness, our kids are going to be happy, and the beauty is the research shows this also predicts success later in life when they apply certain values and characteristics. So, for example, resiliency. Resiliency, teaching our children resiliency, which maybe people are like, why would you have to teach that? But we do have to teach that. We have to teach them, first of all, we have to let them, dare I say it, fail, mess up, and that's okay. We have to teach them that failing or messing up isn't horrible. Because as a society, we're so perfectionistic. Everyone should get a trophy, you know. Mm-hmm. So teaching them failure is okay. And in my vernacular, I don't even like the word failure. I call it data. So when my kids don't achieve what they wanted, or they don't get what they wanted maybe in school in terms of a grade or whatever it is, we use that as data. Okay, what happened? What were the ingredients that went into you not having the result that you wanted, and how can we learn from it? How can we, you know, keep excited and motivated about this and persevere and make changes in the future?
Perfect. And that brings up the whole aspect of perfectionism. And my wife happens to fall in that category, and she's worked really hard. And I think one of the reasons why we are together is because I am not. I'm very easy to let go and forgive myself, where she is going to be the opposite. And we've been teaching each other how to become more in the middle. But I think perfectionists have a really hard time in life in terms of being happy specifically.
Totally. And here's the thing. I think a lot more people are, the way I define perfectionism, which I will in a minute, I think a lot more people are perfectionists than just the ones who maybe like to have their junk drawer completely neat or everything, you know, their house is completely perfectly designed. Perfectionism to me are people who, or when people think in all or nothing terms. So it could be everything from, oh, I didn't get 100 on my test, so I failed, to, you know, even something like New Year's resolutions. I recently joined forces with Weight Watchers because there's so much perfectionism when it comes to wanting to be healthier. You know, someone says, I'm not going to eat any cookies. Then they have one cookie, and, oh, I already messed up my diet. I might as well have the whole plate. You know, that's perfectionism. I didn't work out this week. Oh, I'll wait until next month to start again. That all or nothing mentality. And very few things in life are all or nothing. And so when we base not only our judgment on how things are, but when we base our self-worth on that, that's when we really run into problems. Because typically a perfectionist is all or nothing. I either get an A or I fail the test. But they then perfectionists, and you know, I'm a recovering perfectionist, we take it one step further. So it's not just that I failed the test. It's that I'm a failure. And so that's why perfectionists have such a difficulty releasing the perfectionism, because it's not just I'm okay with not doing, you know, 100% on that. It's we interpret it to mean I'm a failure. And that's where I think a lot of times when perfectionists try to let go and they try not to have such stringent rules, it's still hard for them until they develop what I call it unconditional self-worth. Unconditional self-worth means regardless of what I do, if I screw up or not, I still believe in myself. I don't have to get 100. I don't have to get on that show. I don't have to write this book. I don't have to have this relationship to feel good about myself. I just feel good about myself because who I am.
Well, yeah, that's very, very important. And affirmations, is that something that you recommend as well?
Yeah, so affirmations can be very powerful. One of the things I hear over and over again is affirmations don't work for me. So let's talk about why. You know,
exactly.
What we say to ourselves is the most powerful thing. And it's like if you ever hear a song on the radio that you've never heard before, if you like it, you know, you kind of listen to it, you might be like snapping your fingers or whatever, but you aren't singing the song yet because you don't know the song. But the more you hear it over and over and over again, the more you internalize it. And that's kind of what affirmations are too. You have to hear it, and you have to hear it over and over and over again. The other thing that helps affirmations stick is emotion. So if you think back, depending on how old your listeners are, you know, when you were in high school, maybe, or even, you know, younger than that, there's certain songs that when you hear from that time frame, you can remember every single word. And for some of us, that could have been, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Why is that? Because not only did we hear it over and over again, but it tends to be stuck with emotion. Maybe it was the dance for your, you know, your senior prom, or I don't know, you were listening to this song when someone broke up with you, or whatever it is. It's that emotion that helps things stick. So when we're trying to focus on affirmations and having them stick, a couple things to do. When you're meditating and you're in that really suggestive state, right, towards the end of your meditation, that's a great time to put your affirmations in. When you're saying your affirmations, saying them with such conviction and such passion and really allowing yourself to feel, even if you don't believe them. I say to my clients, pretend that you are an actor or an actress, and this person in the movie 100% believes it. How do they stand? How do they walk? How do they move? What emotions are they absolutely feeling in an overwhelming fashion? And when you say your affirmations in that way, they're much more sticky.
Yeah. So is affirmation something, I know you're using prayer and gratitude. Is affirmation something that's part of your daily ritual?
Definitely.
I know, yeah. Louise Hay talks about that. I do that on a regular basis. Just look at myself in the mirror and say nice things. And because me being the intuitive, and I probably feel these things a little bit more, but I feel the difference in energy. And I know what I feel like before I say it, and I know what I feel like after I say it, and there's a big difference.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And the beauty with that is that you are in a state where you're able to be open to and accept them.
Right. Yeah, acceptance is a big part. That's true.
And sometimes, you know, some of your listeners out there may not be there yet. That doesn't mean to stop. Just like that song on the radio, you hear it once, you hear it twice. You know, I don't know the words yet. But you keep listening to it. I promise you, you're going to learn every single word in that song.
Nice. Very true. What are some of your suggestions for, you know, a person gets up in the morning? What would a happy person or a person who is practicing happiness, what would they do every morning to get into that happy mode?
So every day, and I'll tell you what I do, every day before I get out of bed, I take a deep breath. I express gratitude for anything that pops into my mind. I get excited about my day. And my big question is, how can I serve others? So my goal in life is to use the gifts that I've been given to serve as many people as possible. So I put that question out there. Questions are very powerful. So in addition to gratitudes, in addition to affirmations, ask yourself a question in the morning. But here's the important part. Make sure you want to know the answer. Because what happens is we ask questions subconsciously. How's today going to suck? You know, what's my husband going to do? It's going to annoy me today. And we don't mean to ask those questions, but we ask those questions, and then what does our subconscious do? It spends the day answering the question. This is exactly why your day is going to be horrible, or this is exactly why your husband is not going to be very kind to you, or, you know, how are my kids going to be crazy today? Whatever it is. Make sure you're asking questions that you want the answers to.
Yeah, and just in terms of thoughts in general, I have so many examples, but just to use an example of me and my best friend, when we were both playing tennis competitively, we would go to the same tournament. And my take before the tournament is, I'm going to do great, it'll be fun, I'll be playing very well, and what happens will happen. My friend is going into the tournament, even though our skill levels are about the same, he goes into the tournament thinking, I'm going to get out in the first round because I suck. And guess what happens? If you think you're going to suck, you're going to suck. And he got out in the first round, and I almost won. So that was the difference. It's all about this mental attitude. And there are statistics everywhere in terms of number of thoughts that you have in your mind throughout the day and positive thoughts versus negative thoughts. I think there are a ton more negative thoughts than positive, and isn't that a bad thing? Let's change that and have more positivity into our life, and let's see what happens with it.
Right. Yeah. Thoughts. The other thing that you did was you took the stress off. You didn't say, I have to be number one. Mm-hmm. You know, you took that fear away, and you came from a place of passion. This is going to be fun. I'm going to apply my strengths, and I'm going to do great, and it's just going to be fun. And if we go into life like that, guess what? Life is fun.
Very true. And certainly works that way for me. And looking at my best friend and myself, we're good examples. He much more negative than me. And yet we are best friends. Weird, weird but true. That also extends into the way that people view the world. I talked to my relatives, who should remain nameless. So I'll talk to my relatives, and they went to Latin America, and they visited Brazil, and they visited Argentina. And I was so excited to talk to them because I've never been there, and I heard wonderful things, and I wanted to know what their firsthand experience was. And what I'm hearing is, oh, it was so horrible. It's a third world country. Everywhere you look is this and this. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Is that really how you see the world? Mm-hmm. And then it dawned on me that people see the world differently. And you and I can look at the world and see one thing, and somebody else will be looking at the same picture and see it in a negative. So isn't a part of staying positive just the way that you see the world in general?
Absolutely. And that's really the whole key. You know, it's the proverbial glass half full, half empty. We've all heard it before, you know, half empty, you're supposed to be a pessimist, half empty, you know, full, you're not optimist. But the question is, which is the truth?
Mm-hmm.
And the actual factual truth is both.
Yep.
So what they are talking about, it was probably there. There probably was a lot of poverty and some really tough stuff. And there was probably also some amazingly beautiful, experiences that they didn't see. We all have a pair of lenses through which we see the world, through which we see our loved ones, through which we see our work, through which we see ourselves. Filtered, all of the information gets filtered through that.
Yeah. It's true. And it was, to me, it was sad. And I understand that everything exists in the world and everybody sees what they want to see. But it was just sad and an interesting realization at that.
And you know, I think it's what they want to see or it's what they think that they have to see. And
maybe, yeah.
And I think the real power is we get to choose.
Right.
We get to choose how we view things. We get to choose how we view our lives, other people, and ourselves. And again, it doesn't mean being Pollyanna. I'm not suggesting you think something like, I am so happy because my husband just left me.
Right, yeah.
Right? Like, that's cuckoo crazy thinking. But you can see positive things that are really there. I call it being realistically optimistic.
Yeah, because we live in the real world. We live in the world where not everything is great all at the same time. But it's how we're reacting to it that matters. Very true. Last thing I wanted to ask you is in terms of the tools. And we talked about things that people can do. But a tool that I use, you know, let's say that I am down or you know something happens and I'm realistically not happy at the moment. So what I do is I go to my tools. And that particular tool of choice in this case would be television. And I would put on
my... I still remember this about you. Musicals.
I know. I put on a musical and within a few minutes, maybe few is being optimistic, but within 10 minutes, I am singing, I'm dancing, my vibrations are so high.
So
and I love every moment of it. So what other tools can people use?
Yeah, and before, if you don't mind, before we get to what other tools can people use, let's talk about why it's important. So our stress level is from 0 to 10. 0 is no stress at all. 10 is full-blown panic attack or you're so angry you're hitting the wall or whatever it is. And we tend to be somewhere not necessarily at 0 and hopefully not necessarily at 10. When our stress level is at a 7 or higher, it's really hard to think in positive ways. I literally go around the world teaching happiness, and when my stress level is at a 7 or higher, I think in the negative Nelly ways. So the beauty of what you're talking about in terms of the tools, it's not like life's totally going to change from watching Fiddler on the Roof, but what it does is it brings your stress down to a level where you can think more rationally, and then you can say, you know what, yeah, this is tough. And I'm going to get through it. Or, wow, you know what? I didn't really do what I had hoped would happen. So what can I do now to fix things? We can think more rationally. We can be more resilient. And we can see things in a different way when our stress level is lower. So that's the beauty of having these tools. And the reason, again, why I bring it up, because a lot of times people will be like, well, you know, that's not going to change what happened. It's not going to change what happened, but it will change your perspective on it.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I think it's really important. The tools are really individual, and I think it's important for everybody to have at least a handful of tools. I often make the comparison that if you're building a house and you have a toolbox, and even if it is the most beautiful, red, shiny toolbox, just the best toolbox in the world, and you open it up and you have a hammer, and even if it's the best hammer in the world, you're not going to build a house with just a hammer. Like, we need more than one tool. So some people will say, well, you know, I like to eat. Can I eat if I'm feeling down? Well, you know what? Every once in a while, if you're doing it for the reason of, oh, you know what? I just want to really enjoy this, I don't know, chocolate mousse. Every once in a while, that's fine. If that's your only tool, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. So thinking of, for you, what are fun things? Sometimes it can be a distraction. Like for you, it's the musical. Sometimes I will literally get on the internet, and there are a couple of people who I just find really, really funny, like, you know, Ellen and, I don't know, Jimmy Kimmel, you know, some of the late-night comedians, and I'll just watch a clip of theirs, and within 3 minutes, my mood's different, I can see things differently, I'm ready to move on. Exercise. I call exercise non-pharmacological Xanax, because it is so powerful at bringing your stress down and releasing endorphins and helping you be happier. Now, when I say exercise, it doesn't mean you have to go to the gym or put on your shoes and go running. Jumping on the bed, dancing around the house, dancing around while watching musicals can be great. Mm-hmm. Spending time with a friend who's really positive in your life can be great. Any of these, reading affirmations, prayer, meditation, listening to music, going out into nature, and actually research shows actually looking at a picture from nature will bring down our blood pressure and bring down our stress level. Looking at maybe photo albums from or pictures from happier times, all of these things can be really helpful to reduce our stress, to then bring us back to, you know what, I have a choice of how I view this. I have a lot of options on how to deal with this, and I'm going to choose one that's actually going to be helpful to me.
True. All beautiful tools, and thank you for remembering my love of musicals.
Oh my gosh, I think that's so great. It's better than perfect.
Yes, and looking forward to reading that book. Last thing before I let you go, you've mentioned something that's so important, and I'm not sure that we utilize it as much as we should, is surrounding ourselves with positive people. Yeah. I can tell you that when I decided to transition out of my IT world and open up the school and get on the radio and start writing about it, my perspective changed, because all of a sudden I discovered that these wonderful people are all around you. And they're happy, and they're healthy, and they're wealthy, and everything is working out for them. Where have they been? And everything in life becomes better. So surrounding yourself with those people made my life much easier. Do you believe? Yeah. So the question there is, how can we surround ourselves with happy and nice people that are looking at life through a rose-colored, pair of glasses, if you will, when most of the people around us at work or something else, they're already in that mode? Do we have to go outside of that mode in order to find these happy people, or can we find them somehow else?
Well, there are a couple ways to do it. I mean, in my life, most people have rose-colored glasses, but I think one of the main reasons for that is because that's the energy that I emit, right? So like energy attracts like energy. So the happier you are, happier people you are going to attract in your life. And I don't, mean dating attracting. I just mean the happier people that you will interact with. You also, because happiness is infectious, your happiness, research shows, not only affects the people around you, your primary circle, but their circle also. So it's 2 degrees of separation that happiness is infectious with. Hmm. So addressing your own happiness is so key. Last night I was on I did a telesummit with a friend of mine who she's a flirting expert, love her to pieces, and we were talking about dating and how important it is. If you're looking for that, that quote right person for you, the happier you are, take time to really focus on your own happiness and your own purpose and your own meaning, because you're going to attract those other people. So I would say that's the first thing. The second thing is, we talked before, how do you be happy? You engage in activities. You do things that are fun and meaningful for you. So if I have a client right now who's really, he's a single guy, and he loves the symphony, loves it. So he now volunteers at his, where he lives, he volunteers for that symphony. And guess what? He's met a lot of other people who are crazy about the symphony and passionate about it and excited about it. And by having that common bond, they're able to really bring out more positivity in themselves.
Perfect.
Yeah. And I think, too, this is a fantasy of mine, but I'm just going to share it anyway. Sometimes at certain churches, there's definitely that positivity. I think also it would be great if we could have, meetups, happiness meetups. And it's people who are optimistic, and they just want to be with other people who are optimistic. Another place I've seen it in the entrepreneurial space, which you and I are both in, is there's just certain mentors out there who have mastermind groups that are just. I just had one with Sam Horn. I don't know if you know who Sam Horn is. She's she wrote Tung Fu, and she's written a bunch of books, but she's an incredible marketer. I went to a mastermind at her house. Oh my gosh, the amount of love and positivity with all of these strangers was literally palpable. And I now have connections with people I had never met before who I could call in a second and ask for anything if I'm feeling down. Oh, they're going to be there. So I think, you know, looking for mastermind groups like that, whether you're an entrepreneur or even just you're looking for other spaces. I know, for example, like Marcy Shimoff and Deborah Poneman, mm-hmm. they have a lot of great groups too, bringing positive people together.
Perfect. Well, on that note, and to the degree of the second level of separation, I think we've just made lots of people very happy. So thank you for coming on, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for sharing your happiness and wisdom with us. It's a pleasure of talking to you again.
Oh, Alan, thank you so much. I really appreciate being on, and I'm so applaud what you're doing with this school, and it's going to be amazing, and it's going to bring those happiness skills and so many other wonderful skills to a lot of people. So thank you for all that you're doing.
Oh, it's my pleasure. All right, everyone, we're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion. Please stay with us. Hi, I'm Alan Weisberg with Recalibrate Your Life. And I help people like you find their soul purpose, align with it, and gain the balance that you seek. But don't take my word for it. Take my clients.
Alan, what can I say? But wow, I've always had so many questions on whether I'm on the right path. Am I fulfilling my life's mission? These are questions that I assume have been pondered by everyone since the beginning of time. However, the gift that you possess has helped me immensely. It confirmed my need to be artistic, my need to help others so much. I can't even explain the experience. It confirmed so much more than I can describe in this small note of appreciation. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak, allowing me to release my inner thoughts, and most importantly, for confirming and leading me to what I always believed but was not confident enough to believe in. Thank you. Trust me, this was hard for me to do, but I do know that God has blessed us with various gifts, and you have an amazing gift. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You, like all of my clients, deserve to live in alignment with your soul purpose. To begin your journey, visit recalibrateyourlife.com or call 800-323-1619. And don't hesitate. Recalibrate. Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task. Never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. Welcome back to School of Human Potential Radio. Thank you very much for staying with us and hearing our conversation with a very happy, wonderful, beautiful Elizabeth Lombardo. I'm lucky enough to live in Chicago where Elizabeth is, and I see all the things that she's doing. It's amazing. That's when we're talking about surrounding yourself with these happy, wonderful, go-getter people. That's what it's all about. By the way, another one of those people that I really fell in love with, take it any way you want, but I fell in love with Marie Forleo, and she has B-School that I just signed up for, and I'm going through B-School second week, and she's extremely positive, and she's very successful, and she loves doing what she's doing, which is helping people change the world. So she found what she's good at, she's doing it, and she's changing the world in the process. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about for the rest of the show. I know we have another 8 minutes or so. One of the things that was mentioned during our conversation with Elizabeth is finding your purpose. And that's something that I invested a lot of time in for the past year and a half, because I was very successful on the IT side. I was running my IT consulting firms and was doing very, very well. So as an immigrant, which we established by me coming here and my and my accent, I was successful by all of those things that my parents kind of set in motion. They came here so I can be successful, and I did that. And the more successful I became the last couple of years, the less I was feeling fulfilled. And that was a interesting dichotomy for me, because the money was there, you know, the accolades were there, so to speak. The recognition started to be there. And yet I felt like I was wasting my time. And I knew that I was not living my purpose. And then the question became of who are you and what is your purpose? And what should you be doing with your life? So at some point in 2012, towards the end of the year, I quit IT altogether. And I spent the next 6 months not doing any IT whatsoever. And what I did was just try to find myself. And I allowed myself to take all the things that I wanted to do and all of the talents that I thought I had and express them. And I'm going to walk everybody through an exercise of expressing and finding that inner essence. And that's something that is truly unique about yourself. So I went through that process and I, you know, went to my spirituality part because I knew that I was intuitive. I knew that I had some skills in that area, and I wanted to study with the best and learn about it. So I went and I studied with Doreen Virtue, and I went and I studied with my mentor, my love, and a person who I admire greatly, Lisa Williams. And I saw, oh my God, I do have mediumship abilities, and I do have, in Doreen's case, angel communication abilities. And yeah, I am a certified angel oracle card reader. Maybe I should be doing that. I thought about it. No, that's not exactly me, even though that's a part of me. That's not me. That's not what I want to do on an everyday basis. So I went into the other route. I said, well, I'm going to start another business and I'll be an entrepreneur and maybe kind of mold into other things. Well, not be an entrepreneur. I was an entrepreneur, just taking IT out of it and doing something different. But that was not exactly me either, because what was me is really this middle thing. It's this path between the mainstream and spirituality. I am not just a medium, and I'm not just an entrepreneur who's rooting for the Cubs. And I didn't want to express myself only halfway. I wanted to express myself fully and help others do the same. So I started a practice and I started helping other people to do that with the Recalibrate Your Life that you hear commercials on my radio for. But the point is the same. How do you discover who you are? And then how do you take that and then start aligning with that essence in our material, real world? Happiness is a part of it. Yes, very much. And we talked about the tools, but here are some other tools. So many people are asking me, how do I know what my purpose is? If they're working with me, I use different methods and I actually use a consensus mode. I go to the spiritual side, I get my hits from there. I go to the entrepreneurial side, I speak with the person. Then if everything aligns, then we know what your purpose is as long as it resonates with you. Okay? Here are a couple of steps that I have people go through in order to quickly see what is their essence. So I call this the essence spectrum and the expressions of essence. And I want everybody to imagine a flower. Imagine a lotus flower. Imagine any other type of flower that you like. And in the middle of that flower is that core. So that core is who you are. So if you're writing this down, if you're drawing this beautiful flower, I want you to write in a few words who you are and explain who you are in those two words. Maybe one word, maybe two words, maybe three words. Initially, you'll probably have a few sentences, but narrow that down, pare that down until you get to two or three words. Around that circle, around that center, around that core are the different rings of your petals in that flower. The ring that is the closest to who you are the expressions of who you are that are closely describing it. So in my case, if I am a spiritual teacher, then the expressions of that would be me getting on the radio and talking about it, or me writing a book, or and me starting a school and dealing with it. It's me expressing that in a different way. Whereas all around the other rings and the other petals, the farther away from the center, the farther away from who I am truly. As Elizabeth was mentioning, one of her clients who's an actuary, he loves humor, but he wasn't expressing it. And that's where your second part of the exercise comes in. When you're done with that flower, when you take all of your talents, your desires, your ambitions, and things that you think you want to do, and you put them into those rings from the center moving outwards, then I want you to take a second list and write down all of the things that you've been doing for the past, let's say, the past month, not including eating or sleeping or pooping. But write down, how many hours have you worked? What types of things have you been doing throughout the day? And then take all of those and compare it with the expression of your essence and see what you think you're about and how much of that do you do on a daily basis? And then you'll get to understand very quickly if you're fulfilled, and if not, why not? That are some of the exercises that I would recommend. So be happy. It really is all up to you. We are all in different positions. Things happen. In my case, I have my businesses that I'm running. I'm launching websites. I'm writing. I'm speaking. I have kids. I have family obligations. I have my own craziness. And it's not easy to be happy. But if you choose to be happy because that is who you are, then your world will be affected by that in a positive manner. Look at the world through the rose-colored glasses. You are the key to your own happiness. And that is what I wanted to leave you with. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for spending your time listening to us. Until next week on School of Human Potential Radio, love you. Thank you. Reach your potential.
Thank you once again for listening to School of Human Potential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the program and are inspired to make a positive change in your life. For more information about the school, please like our Facebook page and visit www.schoolhp.com. To sign up for a session with Alan, please visit www.recalibrateyourlife.com or call 1-800-323-1619.